693, number
675.
67. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Yeah. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, the host of the Weekly Worldview. I'm here with Reason, number 675.
All right, well, to take your kids out of public school, Doug, yes. This Friday is the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship.
Right.
And there is a big event we'll talk about in just 60 seconds.
Well, that's what made me want to start with this article, because I know that
Sean Meek, who is who runs the Traveling Creation Museum, is a former teacher.
Public school teacher.
Yeah. So
I read in his bio.
So what is this?
Reason 675. This is out of Lynn, Massachusetts. There's a new game in the government schools. It's called Big Booting. Big Booting.
Big Booting.
Yes. One student walks up behind another unsuspecting student and kicks them in the back of the head.
Oh, no.
That's the new game. Reason number 675, log this one in.
Reason number 675 to homeschool.
To get your kids out of the government school and homeschool, if at all possible.
We've had more than 1,000 families, we estimate, begin homeschooling their kids through the outreach of this program over the last 22 years.
Amen. My family
was 5 days a week.
Yeah.
All right.
So, praise the Lord.
Now, Friday, Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, the second Friday of every month.
That's right.
And I try to be there every week, every month with my kids, family, whoever I can bring along.
Amen.
And this month, it's going to be great because it's not just sitting down and watching a presentation. This is an actual creation museum that's going to be pulling up to Denver. So let's talk to the executive director of Project Creation, Sean Meek. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I could be speaking with you.
Well, yes, you're on with Doug McBurney, my co-host, and myself, Bob Enyart. And so, Sean, could you tell us about your creation museum? I've been to the one in Kentucky, but that one has the disadvantage of its stationary. It can't...
Right. You got to go thousands, hundreds, or sometimes thousands of miles to get there. This one comes to you.
Wow.
There are 22 stations in the creation museum. It starts with the days of creation, the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel, the Ice Age, cavemen, dinosaurs. It speaks about the age of the earth question. It tells the truth about dinosaurs, that they lived with people for thousands of years.
Wow.
They got in the ark, and I have proof of that, and I show the proof. I just don't say things. Everything I say I have in the museum, I can prove it.
Wow. Well, that sounds worth the price of admission right there.
That definitely is.
Yeah.
And in fact,
so
how much does it?
The museum is a combination of Bible, science, and history. It's got a bit, biblical. In the biblical context, it shows how science and history both support the Genesis account of creation.
Hmm.
And so it's a blending of those three things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, kind of like the Bible itself.
Right, exactly. The Bible is full of geology, history, economics,
yes.
Amen.
Astronomy.
Yes.
You know, all those things are talked about.
Biology, God created animals to reproduce after their kind.
That's right.
Right, and we know that today genetically.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how did the author of that know it 6,000 years ago?
Yeah.
Yep.
In Genesis, it tells us there are trillions of stars in the sky. And it tells us that 4,000 years before telescopes.
That's right.
How did the author of that know it? In the Bible, it tells us that the earth hangs on nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
At the same time the author of Job was writing that down, everybody else said the earth was a stationary place and everything moved around it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that maybe the earth was on a pillar or something, or on the back of a
Hindus
tortoise.
Said the earth was on the back of an elephant, stood on the back of a turtle.
Yeah.
And swam in the eternal sea. But the point is, when people make it up, they come up with some ridiculous things.
Right.
Yeah.
When God tells us what he did,
yes.
He tells us to do it straight. And then you can look back. I mean, people who wrote down these things did not, at the time they write them, truly understand what they're saying.
Sean Meek,
they didn't understand the whole science of it.
Back
we do today.
3,000 years ago, when a student was told that the earth is on the back of a tortoise, then the kid raised his hand and asked, what is the tortoise on?
The tortoise would be swimming in the eternal sea.
Ah.
So here's the question, what's the eternal sea on?
Yeah, what is that?
Hey, it's Turtles All the Way Down. Shut up.
Turtles
kid.
All the Way Down, huh?
Kid, don't bother us, kid, with,
that's right.
with the details. And awesome. So the passage you referenced is in what was actually the first book written in the Bible, the book of Job.
Well, the first complete book. The first book written is the first 11 chapters of Genesis.
Wow. Okay. And so the book of Job, which was written, I believe, at the time of Jacob's grandchildren, which Moses wrote, you know, most of Genesis, at least. I understand what you're saying. But Moses
edited and redacted Genesis from ancient records.
Well, I understand that view, and that's fine.
We
got to
sit down and have coffee with this guy when he gets here, yeah. Bob. This sounds
Sean,
great.
And so the book of Job says that God hung the earth on nothing.
Right.
And so this is thousands of years before Isaac Newton observed this universal law of attraction of gravity.
Right. It was before Copernicus even came up with this idea, before Kepler came up with the laws of motion. I mean, these people were long after God had simply explained what it was.
And you know how unbelievers, atheists, skeptics, they like to blame the church for the belief that the earth was at the center, the geocentrism, that the planets and the sun revolved around the earth. Well, that went back to Plato. Plato, in his creation view, had the earth in the center and these spheres orbiting the earth, including the planets and the sun. And then Aristotle adopted that same view. And so there were many Christian theologians who were intensely committed to Platonic and Aristotelian philosophy and a worldview. And so they imported Plato into...
Yeah, they brought a lot of outside pagan ideas and blended them with the Bible, like Thomas Aquinas is probably the number one.
Well, Aquinas wrote, I think it was 13 commentaries on Aristotle.
That's
13
right.
commentaries.
Yeah.
So
and
obviously...
Of course, what happens when you blend outside pagan, particularly pagan ideas...
Yeah.
With the Bible, you end up with a mishmash that doesn't end up meaning anything.
Well, that's a great point. Even St. Augustine, who's considered the greatest, the most influential Christian theologian ever, Augustine wrote in his book called Confessions, The Confessions of Augustine, he said, when I have difficulty interpreting the Bible, including the epistles of Paul and all, he said, I interpret it based on Plato. I mean, he comes right out and says that he interprets even the creation teaching, he interprets it based on Plato. So it's not a surprise that the medieval church believed in geocentrism. They didn't get it from the Bible. It was not a commitment to Scripture. It was a commitment to Plato and Aristotle.
And the problem was it was committed to tradition.
Right.
Which the Roman Catholic Church believed had the same status as the Bible.
Well, you know, that is true. The Bible clearly is God's word in special revelation. It's presented to us clearly, while tradition, it's hard to know. You know, which of our traditions, we have a tradition that our kids take the name of their father. That's not bad. But we have other traditions that are horrific. And so whereas the Bible is special revelation, your traditions are a mishmash of ideas. So, so cost. What does it cost for someone to come and enjoy the traveling creation museum? What's
the
cost?
I know people have to go out and refinance their houses to get this, but it'll be worth it. $3 a person.
$3 a person. Now that
we have special loan officers ready to help
with approved credit.
Now, is it true though that the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship is making the entry free for those who attend? I don't know if they're covering the cost. Do you know?
They're covering the cost for the school it's at. I'm not sure they're covering the cost for an individual.
I think that they are.
They may be.
I might be getting myself in trouble, but I do believe it's free to the general public in that the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship is presenting this as a service.
I think they are, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, no matter what happened, we would never turn anybody away.
Yeah, and hey, Doug, could you foot the $3 for somebody who can't afford it?
I'm going to bring my children. I'm going to bring at least my two older girls, maybe all three. Hmm. And if I don't have the cash, Sean, I will bring loan documents. So
okay,
we'll make sure.
Yeah.
And we'll have that available for anyone. We'll either have cash or loan documents.
It's really appropriate for 5 years and up, five-year-olds and up.
Okay,
oh,
great.
I'm awesome. Glad you
I don't know what ages your kids are, but 5 years up, they will understand, and they'll do well.
Okay, and we have Sean, Cheryl and I, my wife and I, we have seven boys. Three are still at home. We homeschool them. They're 11, 13, and 15. So, and I'm going to invite our older kids, too.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, they're on their own, but they all live locally.
Well, it's also a semi-hands-on museum, so you can touch just about everything. You'll pick up fossils from thousands of years ago, antiquities from thousands of years ago, see some things that I can guarantee you, if you come, you'll see things you've never seen before.
Now, you said fossils from thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
Don't you have any from millions of years ago?
Well, unfortunately, I lost all those. Yes, I had them in a bag, and it slipped out of my hand. And just No, of course not, for the very simple reason there was no millions of years ago.
There was no.
There's a whole section in the museum about how the evolutionists invent these dates. There's a piece of lava that's about 200 years old, and they tested it. Came up, by their testing, it came up 700 million. One test, 700 million years old. The other test, 2.5 billion years old, for the same piece of lava that was less than 200 years old.
Fascinating.
So the point is, all their tests are nonsense. There is no scientific way to tell the age of anything.
Well,
so they just make these things up. So, no, obviously I do not have millions of years old, because millions of years doesn't exist.
Hey,
it never has.
Sean, my wife and I, we went on one of our wonderful family vacations. We took our kids. Doug, we went to Death Valley.
Mm-hmm. Death Valley, yeah.
Death Valley, and would you believe it? This is our the Enyart family luck. Death Valley was closed due to flooding. This is the only time it's happened in a century.
That's ironic.
And it was closed the day we went to go there. But what was neat is we've learned that the Death Valley and the National USGS and all, they used to say, they look at a volcano there, and they used to say that it had erupted like 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Which was amazing, because that would have been before the Earth was made.
It was even created, yes.
Right, but now they have redated it. They were more careful, and they said, actually, it erupted about 800 years ago.
Wow, that's a dramatic change.
And on instance after instance after instance, when they claim something happened billions of years ago, millions, tens of thousands of years, we're able to go in, look more carefully,
and find
see,
the truth.
Yeah, the truth.
Right.
Sean Meek, have you heard about the discoveries of dinosaur soft tissue?
Oh, yes, yes. Read about that years ago. Dr. Schweitzer was the first one to find it.
Yep.
And when she found it, instead of saying the obvious thing, well, maybe this creature didn't die millions of years ago, she said, we're going to have to recalculate our ideas about fossilization.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they find blood
vessels.
Her mind
was so taken up by the nonsense.
Right.
Of millions of years, she couldn't see what was right in front of her.
Right. And now
of
there's...
course, it's happened thousands of, or maybe even hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, and now there's dinosaursofttissue.com,
very
popular site, which documents now a dozen major scientific journal papers confirming they have soft tissue from all kinds of dinosaurs now.
So now Jurassic Park could happen.
Quite possibly.
Well, they
there's a problem with the way they did in Jurassic Park, but at least they would have the whole...
Yeah.
DNA sequence and wouldn't have to use any for a frog.
Well, and in January 2013 in the journal Bone, Mary Schweitzer made history again, publishing for the first time confirmed Tyrannosaurus Rex DNA.
Yep.
Now, up until now, they've had proteins and, you know, blood vessels, blood cells, hemoglobin, and collagen. Now, they've got DNA. Now, they're not able to sequence it. So far, it's too degraded. But now they're looking for DNA from dinosaurs.
That's awesome.
That means they're not millions of years old.
Yeah. That's obvious to everyone except a committed evolutionist.
Right, because from Egyptian mummies, I mean, didn't they study mummies for decades, and they looked at their biological molecules, and they came up with half-lives for proteins and collagen for
they did. It's well established.
DNA.
Yes.
This stuff decomposes just by molecular vibrations and all.
Right, exactly. Molecular activity is going to decompose it, even if it's completely untouched and has no contact with the air.
Mm-hmm.
Molecular activity alone will cause decomposition.
If it's in a freezer, It's going to decompose.
Eventually, that's why if you put your steak in the freezer and let it sit there for a couple of years, it's not going to be so good after a while.
That's right. Freezer burn. So the time, Friday night. Now, we're talking about in 2 days from now.
Right.
So Friday, April 12th at 7 o'clock, that's when the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship event gets underway. Now, there's a school. We meet at Wadsworth and 21st at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. There's a school there. Did I hear you say that the school is going to have access to your
museum? Yeah, they're going to have it during the day. They'll have all their students go through during the day, and then it'll be kept up that night for the public to see.
Great. And this is going to be indoors or outdoors?
Oh, definitely indoors.
Indoors,
not an
okay.
outdoor museum.
Fantastic. Now, obviously,
what the weather is, don't worry.
Okay, so the weather doesn't matter. And, Sean, obviously,
by the time it's all there, it'll be warmed up and nice and dry.
Yeah.
So whatever the weather is, it will not affect.
Okay, and we know that you didn't create the fossils with your own hands, but how did you construct
the exhibits?
Yeah,
and
the
all.
Exhibits. How did those come to be?
I have a business partner who is a fellow Christian, a director of Project Creation, and a brilliant graphic artist. Mm. And we got together one day, this is some years ago, and he said, you ought to take what you have now, because before it had been there, but it was kind of amateurish. I did all of it. So we need to change this. We need to put all this on, you know, on a computer and then print it off properly and all the rest. So he took about 6 months to take all of it and put it on the screens that you will see that night. And you'll see it's very nice. It looks beautiful. He did a great job.
All right. Well, I'm very excited. Sean, where are you right now? Are you in Colorado already?
I'm in Littleton at the moment. I'm at your school I'll be speaking to tomorrow with the Creation Museum.
Oh.
And they've been kind enough to let me use the phone. My cell phone is such that I wouldn't trust it for anything. But they're very kind about that. But anyway, yes. So I'm here.
So, Sean, Littleton, of course, is where Columbine High School is. Were you aware that when the autopsy was done and the report was published, it was quoted from on the front page of the local newspaper that one of the two murderers, Eric Harris, was wearing a T-shirt during the atrocity that he committed, and his T-shirt said natural selection. Did you know that?
No.
So they were, of course, obsessed with Darwin,
right,
Charles Darwin. They hated Christians. And I think it was the Rocky Mountain News that ran that on their front page. And they said that no one knows what that phrase referred to. That's what they actually wrote on the front page of their paper. And they said maybe it was a video game or something. These people are,
talk about willfully ignorant.
What a perfect
Amen.
Analysis. Thank you, Sean Meek. We're looking forward to meeting you Friday night.
Hey, well, let's hope we have a couple of thousand people show up.
Well, that would
Praise
be really good,
well,
a couple thousand.
I'll do my part, Mr.
There you
Meek.
Go.
Thank you
All
very
right.
much, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean
Thank
Meek.
You
That's
God bless.
Project
That'd
Creation.
Be awesome.
And for people who want to find the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, just denvercreation.com, and you could find more details about this event. And so, Doug, I'm excited, and I'm going to bring my kids.
Yeah, well, I'm just making sure my calendar is clear. And look at that. Friday, 7 p.m., I will be there. And you should be there, too, folks. It's going to be at Bethlehem Lutheran Chapel. That's 2100 Wadsworth Boulevard in Lakewood, starting at 7 p.m., 2100 Wadsworth Boulevard in Lakewood.
And, Doug, you know, you could pick up there from Mr. Meek. You could pick up that he does this only for the money, right?
Yeah.
You could pick that up. Just like we do this advertisement for Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, only because it's a paid advertisement, and we're making a lot of money.
We're making bank on this one, Bob.
Right?
Yeah, it's great.
So this is because we want people to take advantage of this. We're not getting paid not one penny for this advertisement.
Yeah.
We take up half of the show because we want people to be able to reach their children, grandkids, their friends, and it's for adults too, not just kids.
Oh, yeah, and because we know that if society undermines creationism, then all of society is undermined.
Falls apart. Our inalienable rights come from our creator.
That's right.
You get rid of the creator, you get that mindset, then you kill unborn children, homosexuality, socialism.
All the other problems that we struggle and fight are related to the undermining of biblical creation in the book of Genesis.
They
and
are.
We know that's true.
And so, you know, one of the only issues that's more fundamental than the right to life is that God made us.
That's right.
creation. And so, Bob and Yurt Live, we try to major, we tried not to major in the minors.
Right, only the major issues.
Term limits.
No, not term
limits. Let's join Tom Tancredo and do term limits for 10 years.
Yeah.
That'll really fix what ails the world. Term limits.
I don't think so,
it's like termites.
Yeah.
Might as well focus on termites for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, he might have been smoking dope at the time.
I don't know.
He came out for that later, so. Anyway, I've got it. Can I register a formal complaint with you, Bob?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so everybody join us, Bethlehem Lutheran Chapel, 2100 Wadsworth, Friday, April 12th, 7 p.m. You have sentenced me to read von Mises, Ludwig von Mises, Human Action. You claim that I asked you for it.
Yeah.
I don't recall making such a
About such a year ago, I read that Human Action.
Human Action is the name
Doug,
of the book.
Doug reads more than anyone I know.
Well,
you
this
probably
is a challenge.
Read more than Peter Boyles.
Well, it's just that I fly a lot.
And so this book is almost 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
But I thought, I'll get Doug back.
All right. So 881 pages. First published in 1949, Yale University Press. 10 hours of flight time, I've read 294 pages
in
so far.
In 10 hours.
Now, typically,
flying
Bob.
All over the place.
Typically, I can finish a 250, 300-page book in 3 or 4 hours of flight time.
All right.
10 hours, I'm not even to page 300.
Yeah.
The book has sent me to the dictionary more than anything I've ever read, I do believe.
Yeah.
All kinds of words. And sometimes it's because they're words that he made up. He coined
well,
them himself.
Praxeology.
Praxeology.
He made that one up.
Catalactic.
Catalactic? I think that's a word.
I think catalyst is a word, but he was the first to apply it to economics.
Oh,
it's very interesting.
All right.
Epistemology, I wasn't familiar
with. Oh, that's a word.
Well, I know that's a word, but I never went to college.
That's what the wives of the apostles study, epistemology.
Well, I never went to college, but now I feel like I don't have
to. The epistles are the wives of the apostles.
Now, but the reason I want to talk to you about the book briefly, because I know we're running out of time, is I recommended the book to a first-year economics student that I met out on my travels.
Mm.
And I warned her, though. I said he's got some great free market economic philosophies.
Yeah.
But he is an atheist, and he is against the biblical account of creation. He's an evolutionist.
Yes.
And she looked at me as if to say, huh?
So? No kidding.
Who's not?
No kidding. Aren't we all animals?
Anyway, so I want to write her an email to really, actually to her dad so he can pass it on to her because she's just a college student.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I first read the book, you claimed that von Mises, while an atheist and an evolutionist, is brilliant.
Yes.
Now, I want to dispute that because I don't think he's brilliant.
All right.
Because to me, brilliance, it to me.
You can't be stupid and brilliant at the same time.
Brilliant to me involves the idea of light, enlightenment. Mm. And so while von Mises is
brilliant,
something that glitters and shines, since God said, let there be light,
since
von Mises doesn't know God, he doesn't know brilliance. So I wouldn't call him brilliant, but he is a very smart fellow.
He has a high IQ.
Highly intelligent, very high, well educated.
Yeah.
But his worldview was obviously formed by Darwinian evolution and humanism.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes him to be a bit schizophrenic throughout the book.
He cannot abide by his own principles as he's writing the book.
He dismisses the necessity for value judgments in praxeology and economics.
He says no value judgments. You don't need any.
Not necessary. And then throughout the book, he makes hundreds and hundreds of value judgments. And I'm not even to page 300 yet.
Yeah.
Another thing that bothers me about the man is that he lumps Christianity in with socialism, communism, and other forms of tyranny.
Yeah.
That really bothers me because it's so unnecessary. But obviously,
he has an axe to grind against Jesus Christ.
Oh, definitely. And it comes across in the book. And by the way, I don't recommend anyone. I'm reading the book with all of your notes in the margins.
Ooh.
Bob wrote notes in the margins. Some of them you have to break out a pair of loops and get down. Now, the book itself has a font size of about 6.5.
It's the tiniest. And now, this one is over 900 pages.
Yeah.
This
particular
the font is tiny. And, Doug, some chapters, they go to a smaller size font.
They do.
Have you noticed that?
I have.
I thought it was my eyes.
Yeah. No.
I mean, nothing could be smaller than this font.
It was tough.
Except for the next chapter. And my notes sometimes are smaller.
Yes, Bob's notes are sometimes smaller, but often quite more insightful than the text. And I'm glad that the notes were in there because I'm not that smart of a guy, and economics is a bit above my pay grade. And so it was very helpful because you noticed things that I would have missed. And so if you ever decide to write some kind of commentary or rebuttal,
well,
I'm sure that it would be of value.
I would,
to the
but
Christian
I don't
community.
Want it to be 900 pages.
No,
but I would like
please.
To do a Christian analysis of Ludwig's human action.
Well, and I think one of the reasons maybe he uses 900 pages is because he tries to explain motivations, human motivations that are other than financial, other than economic, motivations like altruism, for example. He tries to communicate these in purely humanistic terms because he cannot or does not, he does not comprehend the spiritual. Von Mises doesn't.
That's right.
So his
Doug, let me here's my take on it. He acknowledges that if you have a socialist interventionist model, economic system,
right.
He says you cannot have economic calculation. You can't do it.
Right.
You can't, only under freedom can you have economic calculation. For example, let's say Chavez, did he die?
He did.
He died, right?
He's dead.
So let's say we're down in Venezuela.
Yeah.
And there's a resort on the beach, and it's the nicest in the whole country. And you're thinking, hey, this is worth $10 million, but there's a fire sale. You could get it for $2
million. Yeah.
And so your investors, you guys are looking at it and saying, $2 million bucks. People come from all over the world for this.
Yeah.
Should we buy it? And somebody says, well, they might nationalize it.
Oh.
They might not. It's a socialist government.
That's right.
They
Chavez
may nationalize
could
it.
Could come in, right.
So then what is it really worth?
Well,
what is it worth?
Now it's impossible to calculate.
You can't,
value.
Right? Yeah. You simply can't calculate. You cannot do economic calculations without values. Primarily, God saying, thou shalt not steal, which gives us, we know that we have the right to own private property.
That's right.
Well, von Mises wants to pretend that you could be an economist and have no value judgments.
He does. He tries to do that.
By his own observation, you cannot even make an economic calculation without the value that it is wrong to steal.
And perhaps if von Mises had early on realized that his entire economic philosophy is undergirded by that one statement, you shall not steal,
right?
He might not have had to go 900 pages.
He might not have gone to hell.
Well, and well,
he
there's
might a, not have
an
gone
even
to
more important fact
hell.
Is that he may,
right.
He may not have gone to hell.
Yeah.
Let's see now. I'm only at page 300, but
yeah.
Can I ask your opinion? Von Mises seems to warn that the expansion of credit without the necessary factors of production, like consumer demand, entrepreneurial motivation, real capital.
Yeah.
He says it's foolhardy and it's dangerous.
Oh.
He wrote this in 1946 or 47.
Yeah, right. And what did we have, the housing collapse?
It
the,
seems.
The whole thing?
Well, what's happening now with the Fed buying bonds and the government printing money or creating money?
And
expansion,
Obama
expansion
wants
credit?
Banks to loan mortgages
right,
to
I just
people
saw
who
that.
Can't afford them all over again.
We already tried that.
It's like the Dodd-Frank. I mean, these are guys who created the,
exactly.
You know, they were the architects.
Yeah.
And we named the solution after them. It's all so insane.
Right. It's just crazy.
You can't get more insane than it is.
Well, he warned us 60 years ago.
There's a lot of wisdom in
there
his
is.
Book.
There is.
And he is like a scientist like Einstein,
yeah.
who, although basically an atheist, still is able to discern the workings of the physical world. And von Mises was discerning the workings of the economic sphere.
Amen. Well, and I would recommend it, but wait for Bob's. Wait for your commentary because it'll be a lot easier to comprehend.
Maybe we should publish the notes.
That might be worthwhile. Yeah.
Or maybe a version of it, an ebook of it with all the notes embedded.
It's going to be a lot of work, but worth it.
It's out of copyright.
Oh.
Hey, God bless you guys.